Man, that's one bad dude, that doll, Jamal said. Killed them kids, cut that woman. Crazy motherfucker. There was silence for a moment while they finished their smokes, then went back into the diner. Still, Carl waited before he dared to poke his head out and look down the alley. The cruiser was gone. There was no one in sight. Careful not to make a sound, he climbed out of his hiding spot and made his way down the alley under the cover of shadows. Toward the end of the block on the left-hand side, he could see a broad landing and steps leading down from the back door of a business. If the homeless man the restaurant workers had spoken about slept under those stairs regularly, there was a good chance he kept his stuff stashed under there. Carl slipped across the alley. He could see a grocery cart loaded down with the stuff homeless people keep. Soda cans and beer cans they gathered for the recycling money, filthy blankets and clothes. He needed to get rid of the jail jumpsuit and into a disguise. No one looked twice at street people, if they could help it. The owner of the cart was nowhere in sight. Like as not, he was still working his alleys or panhandling on the street in front of restaurants with no valet. The night was young. Carl began to dig through the stuff in the shopping cart, a garbage sack full of cans, another with beer and liquor bottles. Wedged down into the folds of an old blanket, he found a bottle of bourbon with two fingers worth in the bottom, and helped himself to it, hoping it would numb his pounding head and aching throat.
Hey, that's my stuff!
The indignant voice came from beneath the stairs, under a pile of discarded upholstery fabric. The fabric rustled and moved, and a dark lump of rags and matted hair emerged.
You can't have it! Pope Clement gave that to me!
The man came at Carl, arms flailing, mouth tearing wide to shout. Without hesitation, Carl swung the bourbon bottle downward and hit the man in the head as hard as he could. Without a sound, the rag man dropped straight to his knees, his momentum carrying him into Carl and knocking Carl backward. Regaining his balance, Carl was on him in an instant, hitting him again and again, feeling bone give way and splinter beneath the heavy glass of the bottle. He kept pounding away as if the bottle were a hammer, over and over, until there was no skull left to break. Spent, he sat back on his heels, trying not to wheeze. He was sweating and shaking and dizzy. He wiped a hand over his face, and it came away sticky with the ragman's blood and brain matter. Carl pulled the carcass back under the steps, stumbling over another bottle, this one with something clear in it. Carl opened it and sniffed, grain alcohol. He used it to wash the blood off his face and hands, then drank the last swallow. Methodically, he pulled off the dead man's coat and shirt and t-shirt. He stripped off his own jail jumpsuit and dressed in the dead man's clothes, which reeked of body odor, bourbon, urine, and feces. The man had stashed his money down the front of his undershorts, taped against his scrotum. Carl took it, still warm from the body heat of his victim, peeled off a couple of bills to put in his pocket, then stashed the rest, the same way the dead man had. Hiding the jumpsuit beneath it, he covered the body over with the musty remnants of upholstery fabric that had made the man's nest, then went back to dig through the shopping cart for anything else he might be able to use. He found a steak knife with a good blade and slipped it in the coat pocket. He found a knit cap and pulled it on, wincing as the wool settled onto his wounds. The idea that it was probably infested with lice made his skin crawl. But he had no choice. He had no choice about anything if he wanted to stay alive. He rubbed his hands on the filthy pavement, then rubbed them over his face, working in the grime. Hide in plain sight. He knew how to do that. He knew how to be invisible. He was an unremarkable man with a forgettable face devoid of expression. It was easy for people to look right through him. It would be impossible now for him to try to leave the city. The police would be all over the bus stations, the train depots, the truck stops. They might set up roadblocks and checkpoints. They would be expecting him to run. His picture would be everywhere, a picture of him clean-shaven and bareheaded. But he would no longer be that man, and no one would catch him running. In fact, it seemed to Carl the best thing for him to do right now was stay put. The cops had already been down this alley. They had already been told about the homeless guy living under these stairs. He couldn't say for certain, but he imagined the police had checked out the spot on their way down the alley. They had maybe even spoken with the ragman long enough to know that he communicated regularly with Pope Clement. Knowing he was in as safe a place as any, Carl crawled back under the stairs and stretched out beside the dead man's still warm body to catch some sleep.